Let's start. When we realize that we cannot compete with someone because that person is much stronger and better and overall smarter than us, in that case, it's best for us to not to go against that person, right? That's beneficial for our own good. If we insist our way, either we are going to get hurt or get humiliated. In the animal world, it's very clear when the loser realizes that he is no longer competition against the other one, he rolls on the ground and exposes its own tummy, and leaving everything in the mercy of the victor. But human is a different case. This was the case in point with the Philistine people against God. In chapter 5, we will find out that. In chapter 4, Israelites brought the Ark of Covenant to the battlefield. You guys remember this when we studied? They treated it as nothing more than lucky charm. Instead of believing the God of the Covenant, God of the Ark, and they simply thought the mere presence of the Ark would make the difference in their battle condition. Much to their surprise, 30,000 people got killed in one day. If this is the actual modern day war, media would just bombard the president or the generals, completely declared the defeat. Yeah, it was a defeat. Not only they lost the 30,000 people, you guys remember this, they also lost their prized possession, the Ark of Covenant. And it was taken to the Philistine land. I'm sure that there were a roar of a victory chant from the other side of the battlefield. We are going to pick up the scene where the Philistines were bringing their main spoil of the battle, the Ark of Covenant, the Ark of God of Israel, into their base camp, Ashdod. And we'll pick up the verse from the verse 1, and we will stop and pray. Father, as we learned last Sunday, your word is written for examples. Good example to follow, and bad example to shun not to follow. Teach us, show us your mighty power, give us wisdom to understand your word, more than just the text in the book. Let your scripture come alive in our heart, that we may heed your counsel to us. And Father, we also pray that the anointing to be upon everyone's heart and our spiritual ears to hear what is necessary and anoint the one who speaks. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 5, please. Then the Philistine took the Ark of God and brought it from the Ebenezer to the Ashdod. When Philistine took the Ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. And when the people of Ashdod arose early in the morning, there was Dagon fallen on its face to the earth before the Ark of the Lord. So they took Dagon and set it in its place. And when they arose early in the morning, there was Dagon fallen on its face on the ground before the Ark of the Lord. And the head of Dagon and both the palms of its hand were fallen and broken off on its threshold. Only Dagon's torso was left of it. Therefore, neither the priest of the Dagon nor any who come into Dagon's house tread the threshold of Dagon in Ashdod to this day. Stop there, please. Okay. Interpretation. Please speak forth. Good interpretation. He's the only God. Good one. Strong God and only God. And out loud this one more time, please. This is good. That's good. Made with the hands. Good one. All right. You guys got the interpretation. Five key cities of the Philistines were Ashdod, Gaza. I'm sure you guys heard the sound, this city name, Gaza. Ashkelon, Gath, and Ekron. And you may wonder, how do you know? Because in the next chapter, in chapter 6, says it. Simple, right? Philistine had put the first ark into the temple of their god Dagon in Ashdod as evidence that Dagon is a stronger and greater than the Jehovah God of Israel. At the beginning of the battle, we study in chapter 3, Philistine were frightened. Remember? What are we going to do? We're going to be a slave. Come on, man up. Let's go at them. And they thought, wow, Dagon, God helped us. We could conquer these Israelis and their God. So they thought this is completely trophy and this victory should go down in the history. So what is Dagon? Dagon is a cheap god of Philistines since they were polytheists. And they believed that it was supposed to control weather and fertility of the land, including human fertility as well as all the animal and crops. The appearance of Dagon was the man's head with a fish body. I don't know how attractive that would be. The god appeared to be the Philistine adaptation of the Canaanite god Baal, and who is sometimes appeared in the ancient literature as a son of Dagon. And Philistia was an important grain-producing region, and worship of Dagon was thought to ensure the good harvest, good crop. This Dagon god also represents sex and violence, just like its descendant Baal. So, they brought the Ark of God to the house of Dagon and set it next to the Dagon. It's like a trophy. No doubt the Philistines were jubilant and confident in their superiority of the God and over the God of Israel. They had faced the God of Israel in the battle and they won. This is a complete victory. And in the morning, as we read, they were not laughing. There was no roar of a victory. Do you know what the Dagon said to the people of Philistia? I have fallen, I cannot get up. Remember all Burger King commercial? Huh? Dagon could not stand in the presence of God Almighty. What kinds of God did these Philistines have that they have to pick up the God and put it back in the place? Yes, Manny? Oh. Well, I thought you were raising your hand. Okay. And, you know, funny thing is, if you have to move your God around because he cannot move, that is sorry excuse, God, don't you think? All right, let's examine our situation. Do we have the same kind of gods in our lives that we have to go around and take care of? Some people have a house as their gods, or a dog. By the way, this is not Chihuahua only. Sometimes it's like, who is the master, a dog or people? Don't you? It's, huh? Well, a cat is an exceptional thing. It's like shows it from the beginning. It's, I am the king, you are the slave. Yeah. All right. Our one true God take care of us, and we don't have to take care of him. And what kinds of God should we have? The one who needs our care, or the one who take care of us? Yeah. Alright, listen. God will glorify himself. When man disgraces the glory of God, if we fear that, God will go without glory. We think the glory of God has departed. And when men and women do not glorify God, God would glorify himself no matter what. Yes, sir? Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good point. Good point. Good point. Excellent point. There's another thing that, yes and no, because in English we have a clear pronoun. He or she or it. Only problem is in Hebrew it does not. Hebrews does not have a pronoun for any designation for, so it's just it. So, Adam, you know what? Let's take a look at it. If there is an actual translation of it in Hebrew. In Hebrew, there is some of the verb, like a Greek word in Hebrew word, there is some words masculine or feminine. But I don't think in this case there is anything. So, yes, sir. Yeah. So the point of the is more than dealing with is whether it's a feminine or masculine. The thing is, it's on the face, on the ground, in the dirt. And here's a box sitting next to box, the ark, sitting next to the probably. I don't think they propped it up high. They just plop it on the ground. And here's a Dagon God statue standing, and plop it as if prostrating in front of God of Jehovah. When we went up to the Alaska, one of this tour thingy we went is I didn't know, Terry Lehman reserved, was going to the totem place. Karen and I looked at it. After we got into the bus, we realized that we're going to go to the totem. I looked at her, and she looked at me like we're in the wrong bus. And so out of the respect for Terry and Bob, they didn't know either. I'm sure they were rather uncomfortable since she reserved it, and there's a pastor kind of looking at her like with that axe in his eyes. And we end up in the totem place, and I was looking at it. And I thought, Dagon God, all this thing will fall down and flat in the presence of God Almighty. All right, let's move. If that's not bad enough, the puny God Dagon haven't seen anything yet. Then second, first day, maybe Dagon was not balanced correctly and fell. Second day, the head fell off and arms fell off. And the only thing that still remains is a torso. And what happened? What was wrong with the situation? See, the head is the seed of the wisdom, and the hands are the instrument of action. Both are cut off to show that Dagon had neither wisdom nor strength to defend them itself, and himself or itself, and his worshippers. I call it Dagon as he because itself, or whatever you want to call it, pronoun. After seeing the superiority of the God of Israel, the Philistine priest had two choices. Now, here's the important thing. They could return from their wicked and inferior God, Dagon God, and start to serve the God Almighty, superior God of Israel. Or they could stick with the religion, a religious tradition instead. What did they choose? Tradition. What they had before. Why? Why? Huh? Pride? What else? What else would it be? Hardened heart. Good. Another one. Unbelief? How about this? They realize that they don't want to be accountable to God of Israel. Same thing, folks. It's the same thing. This Philistine priest, like a man confronted with the truth today, and rejected God, despised the evidence. They wanted to believe that it was an accident. Note what I say. They wanted to believe it's an accident. How could they believe something so ridiculous, right? Many people today are no different than these Philistine people. They rather believe the revolution theory, Area 51, and little green aliens in the spaceship, even Star Wars garbage, over God Almighty. Because they don't want to be accountable to God. Yes, sir? Yeah, and then make it Dagon's God's hand and the head would end up in the threshold, to them it's a sacred area. So they don't want to step on that kind of thing? Yes, yeah, so it's like, no, they put it back together. They put their God, that is a sorry excuse, God, don't you think? People had to put it back together. And then for the threshold, it goes like this. Yes, sir. You know what? Come to think of it, you're right. Yeah. Now you're pushing it.
I am.
No, what? If you think about it, if you believe in Dagon God, would you leave the pieces laying around? You would leave them, and you don't want to worship the head over there, and you don't want to worship the hand over there? No. No. I think they put it back together, and since their God's head was on the ground, they didn't want to step on that part. Let me say this. When I was in Korea, South Korea, my mother used to take me to the Buddhist temple. I went there because they had a nice food. Actually, better than my mother's food. Only reason. Yeah. My daddy took me to the baseball game because I didn't care for the baseball game. Only reason why I went there is because he let me eat all the sugar stuff. Anyway, to get into the Buddhist temple, they had a threshold about this high. You literally have to go over. Yeah. I mean, mommy and daddy lift him up. Oh, Buddha is a fat and short. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You do the research. Yeah. Do the research. And there might be the image of Dagon. And it's still in one piece. Maybe I really doubt that they have it in one piece. All right. Because worshiping the Lord instead of Dagon meant a huge change in their thinking and living. The Philistine priest unwilling to make those changes. Same thing. I had the opportunity to talk with, I contacted the Truly Nolan place because we found a snake in the house. And that didn't go very well with my wife in the house next to the kitchen island. Yeah, it was a gopher snake, but she went completely. I try not to. So I called the Truly Nolan. They came out and yeah, don't go there. And this young man, and he said, I didn't, before I would start the conversation, just whether God is leading me or not, I would start to witness. Now, I don't do that. I wait. And he said, I heard that you're a friend of our manager, Kyle. So I said, yes, I am. And I heard, and he said, I heard that you're a pastor. So I said, yes, I am. He opened it, right?
Yeah,
so I said, do you go to church? He said, no. I respect people who have a faith, but I don't believe because I'm an agnostic. I wanted to say that the true meaning of agnostic means ignorant, but I don't think that would go well. So I just keep your mouth shut. And then I start to ask him question. So you believe in evolution? He said, yes. Okay. I unstrapped this watch and I held it up and said, when you see this, do you think it just happened to become a Timex watch in a billion years? He said, no. Somebody made it. Of course somebody made it. He just fell right into the this universe didn't come to the point it just happened. Somebody who is extremely intelligent made it. Well, I still don't believe it. He faced the truth. He denied it because he doesn't want to change. Am I making sense? Go to John chapter 3 verse 19, please. Yeah. And so I challenged him, and he said, I'm a scientific guy. I thought, oh, that's even better. So I want you to go and find out the beginning of evolution. And you will find that it started from nothing. How anything can happen from nothing. And one of the evolution requires a big bang. And to have a big bang, you gotta have oxygen. You gotta have an explosion. Where is oxygen and explosion coming from if there was no thing? Logical, right? He ignored, being a scientific guy, he ignored the logic. Yeah. No. And this is condemnation, Apostle John speaking, that the light has come into the world, the men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were what? Point made. Case closed. Back to chapter 5, 1 Samuel, please. But the hand of the Lord was what? Heavy on the people of Ashdod, and he ravaged them and struck them with a tumor, both Ashdod and its territory. Verse 7. When the men of Ashdod saw how it was, they said that the ark of God of Israel must not remain with us, for his hand is harsh toward us and Dagon and our Dagon God. Dagon our God. Therefore they sent and gathered to themselves all the lords of the Philistines and said, what shall we do with the ark of the God of Israel? They answered, let the ark of God of Israel be carried away to Gath. So they carried the ark of God of Israel away. All right, give me your interpretation, please. Okay, you want to share that laugh? Reason for laugh? Okay, then keep it to yourself. Okay, after. All right, Wayne, you have an interpretation? Not the observation, interpretation, brother. Good, good. Huh? Interpret, out of sight, out of mind. More like out of sight. No more punishment. That's good. And say it again. Okay, that's observation. Interpretation. Remember what I said some time ago? God can glorify himself. Go back to verse 6, please. The hand of the Lord was heavy on the people of Ashdod. Nobody is glorifying God. God is punishing these people. And while God is punishing people, his glory is radiant. All right. Anyone else who want to? Aline, you did good last time. Out loud, say it again. You're fine. Good. That's a good one, isn't it? Yeah. All right. God not only destroyed their image of Dagon God, but also he spanked the Dagon worshippers in their butt. And why do I say butt? Because some of your version says swelling. And that's another right translation too. The Hebrew word for the tumor is tekor, or tekorin. According to the Bible dictionary, it is a tumor, hemorrhoids, and a boil or ulcer from the inflammation, especially the tumor in the anus. I think God is having fun with them. New King James? Okay. Uh-huh. That is the actual Hebrew word. Okay. I guess it's because they really don't know other than it's a tumor or is it something swelling and with the inflammation. So you want to call it whatever you want to call it. And it hurts for them. Yeah. Yeah, it's not only their so-called God is disintegrating, but the people, worshippers are suffering. And they are getting, yeah. All right, so in my opinion, since they would not stand for God, God made them that they cannot even sit. I think this should apply to our NFL players. Since they don't want to stand for the national anthem and the stars and stripes, maybe they should remain kneeled permanently. To add more problem, God sent the mice, according to chapter 6, 4, and to plague the people. And the mice ruined the crop and carry the disease germs to the people. Okay, aren't you glad we don't have this kind of people who worship the false god and they will spread the germs around us? After the receiving end of all these kinds of hind problem, yes, I'm enjoying, I enjoy writing this. The Philistines, they still didn't turn to God. Instead, they turned away Ark of God. And they were thinking that out of sight and out of God's reach. Like Aline said, and as we talked about, wrong. Some of us are so stubborn like these Philistines. When God tried to get our attention with his discipline for us, Instead of turning to him, we sometimes push him away or run away from him. That really doesn't help any. No matter where we turn, God is there. We cannot run away from the presence of God. There's a good old phrase, right? You can run, but you cannot hide. Jack Laverty will always say the last word phrase. He said, you only get tired. Verse 9. Alright. So it was after they had carried it away, the hand of God was against the city with a very great destruction. He struck the men of the city, both small and great. The tumor broke out on them. Therefore, they sent the ark of God to the Ekron. So it was, as the ark of God came to Ekron, the Ekronite cried out, saying, they have brought the ark of God of Israel to us and to kill us and our people. So they sent and gathered together all the lords of the Philistine and said, send away the ark of God of Israel. Let it go back to its own place so that it does not kill us and our people. There was a deadly destruction throughout all the cities, and the hand of God was very heavy there. And the man who did not die was stricken with the tumors, and the cries of the city went up to heaven. All right, interpretation time. And don't look at the Arlene. She's not your spokesperson. You come up with your own thing. Huh? Good. What else? Good. Good. What do you have, Arlene? Hold on. What? Unrelenting. Good words. Good words. Yes, Arlene. Okay. She chose not to be a spokesperson for the rest of you. Yes, sir. Where does he say that? Where does he say that? Yes. Slap him, silly pet. Yep. Instead of submitting to God of Israel, they decide to get rid of him, passing the ark of God to the neighbors. They no longer want to be a friend anymore. And like that, the problem is that we cannot get rid of God. We must all face God. Where does it say that? Hebrews 9:27. We all die once. Yep. Yep. And stand before him one day. For those who are believers, we will stand in front of him in the judgment seat and wait for the reward. For unbelievers, they will be announced with the sentence and they will end up in hell. Only problem is the one denomination, same common denomination, they will be in punishment in hell for eternal life. Not much better, I guess. The Ark of Covenant is now among the Philistines, the hot potato, burning every city where it stays. Ekronites were not happy to see the Ark, but still would not submit to the God of Israel. This is the thing. Remember at the beginning I said, if we know a person who is extremely stronger than us, it's better for us to submit to that person in physical life. I'm not talking about spiritual thing. If they knew what they know, isn't it better for them to realize that this God is mighty God, who is a far superior than our God? Maybe we should have him as our God. But they love the things that Dagon God allowed them to have. So they choose not to. How many Christians go back to old lifestyle because they remembered what they had? Remember when we studied the Exodus, they constantly talked about the life in Egypt, go back to the land where they have a plenty of garlic and leeks with bad breath to go with. But they didn't have they said good old time, but they forgot one thing. The whip on their back. They were slaves and nothing more than slaves. Somehow they forgot all about that. Philistine, if they would repent and turn to God, what if they turned to God? What would happen? Would God accept them? Yes. 1,000 times yes. Huh?
Yeah.
Respecting is one thing and the revering is another thing. In chapter 6, you know. Oh. All right. We face difficulties and hopeless situation in our lives. So we try very hard to get rid of the difficulties from our lives by using some psychological method, problems and problem solving situation and religions or people. They might entertain us and give us false hope for a time, but deep down, we still are empty unless we let the presence of God come into our hearts. Unless we have Jesus in our heart, let him override what we want to do in our lives, we will never have that hope and peace. The key of what I said is override. I said this to you guys. Probably I will repeat again in the future. Many people receive Jesus as their Savior, but not many people would have him as their Lord. You know the difference, right? Here are three things we must consider while we are in discipline. Number one, don't press God to end our discipline. Don't press God to end our discipline. It's a waste of time. Trust me. Really trust me. Don't ask God to end this thing. He's not going to be pushed around by you or me. Or anybody for that matter. Second thing, don't hold others responsible for the discipline you are receiving from the Lord. Or other people or circumstance, whatever that is. If you're going through a difficult time, if you know there is a discipline of God, stop passing the buck. Just take it. Your repentance does not start until you take a full responsibility of your action. Without that genuine repentance, you will not be restored. Discipline continues. I learned one thing. Whenever I end up in the woodshed of God, I don't ask God to stop it. I don't say that it's somebody else's fault, because nobody make me sin against God. I choose to sin against God. And so what I ask is when I go through, if it's not my sin, sometimes God still allowed me to go through woodshed, right? For my own character growth. And when that happened, I asked the Lord, let me learn quickly. And then there is a parenthesis so I can get out here quickly. Third thing, when it's time to be restored, draw attention away from yourself, but direct it to the Lord and His plan. Just because we turn our face away from God, it doesn't mean that He cannot see us. He knows our thoughts and He knows the intention of our hearts. And it's better for us to surrender to God and obey His command. 2 Corinthians, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 15. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one, we are aroma of death leading to death, and to the other, aroma of life leading to life. Who is sufficient for these things? Just simply surrender to God and we will be used by Him. Okay. Same is true for the presence of God among us. The work of Jesus on our behalf will either be the greatest blessing we have ever known for all eternity, or it will be the greatest witness of God's judgment against us. If we submit and surrender to God, it can be a blessing. If we refuse His voice and His heart toward us, it can be a curse. What will we decide? Two applications. Number one, no program, no method, no religion, no person, no philosophy can replace God. Second application, God cannot be pushed away as these people try to do. All right, let me ask you this question. Since you guys thought I'm not going to ask question anymore, come up with your own application for what we studied. Application, please. Good. Did you hear that? Everybody heard that? Good. Good. I'm sorry? Good. I read what Charles Spurgeon said. God never allows his children's sin to be successful. Let me say one more time. God never allows his children's sin to be successful. In the process of our sins, he blows the whole process to everybody. When we try to hide that thing, what is done in the inner room will be shattered from the rooftop. Yeah. Usually, most inconvenient time. Always. Yeah. What is it? Yeah, most inconvenient time. As I like the one where we find it in the word, it's better to be broken on the rock than rock crushed on us. I'm paraphrasing it. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Go with us. Remind us never to push you away for our sins, but always embrace you and run to you. Let us find shelter in you and rest in you. Instead of trying to do what we want, remind us to do what you want us to do. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.